Thank you, men, and thank you for joining us in prayer tonight. If you have a request that you would like to go on the prayer list, just please write it down on a piece of paper and get it to me before you leave tonight, and I'll get it to Sister Doris. Right after our service tonight, Brother Tracy Coleman has asked that if you are physically able, strong, we need some strong people. So we're going to move the chairs and the tables, the stuff on the platform, make way for the track. So we're just going to move it back here and get it back in this area so we can clear off the platform area immediately following the service tonight. All right, Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4. While you're finding your place there tonight, I want to talk to you about the rapture. Someone said, well, you know, the word rapture is not in the Bible, so I don't believe in it. Well, the word Bible is not in the Bible, but I believe in it. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but I believe in it. And so sometimes the word may not be in the Bible, but the teaching or the principle is in the Bible. And so I want to talk to you about the rapture, and I'm going to show you some scripture, because I do believe that we need to stick with what saith the scripture. There's just teachings all over the place when it comes to, well, the book of the Revelation in particular, and the events that are in the book of the Revelation. The resurrection, for example, or it's really plural, the resurrections, the judgment of the dead, the judgment of the living, the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment of unbelievers. There's just things all over the place. The revelation or the rapture of the church, the millennial kingdom, there's amillennialists, there's postmillennialists, there's premillennialists. And then I hear now they've come up with a pre-progressive millennialist. And so, you know, it's not really funny. It's just man is funny. We're just funny individuals. And we're just constantly trying to come up with stuff instead of just take God at his word. And so I want to ask you some questions, and you can feel free to give me some feedback. Speak loudly and clear if you're going to speak. And I want you to just go along with this. I'd really like to know what the church here at Fellowship, and of course this is just a representation. Many of our folks are throughout the building, some not able to be here tonight. And so if you're joining on live stream, unfortunately we can't hear you. You can type in your answers or your suggestions. So what do you know about the rapture? Somebody raise your hand and tell me something biblical about the rapture. What do you know about the rapture? Yes, Brother Don. It'll be quick. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Amen. That's biblical. That's 1 Corinthians 15. Yes, Marcus. Yeah. The rapture is, part of the rapture is resurrection. When the rapture takes place, there will be a resurrection, but it will be the resurrection of the dead in Christ, not just the dead. The scripture is very clear in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then there will be translation. And that's another aspect of the rapture. There's resurrection and translation. There's corruptible, putting on incorruption, and there's mortal, putting on immortality. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Something else about the rapture. We're going to look at some of these scriptures. Yes? Yeah, no one knows the day or the time. No one knows the day or the hour. It's what we call, it's the imminent return or the imminency. Now, I didn't say immediate. You know, that would mean right now. And so if it didn't come right now, then I would be wrong. The imminent means it can happen at any time. No man knows the day or the hour. You say, well, I read a book one time. This man said he did. He's a liar. Yeah. No man. I'm going to go with Jesus on this one. No man knows the day or the hour. All right? And so anyone starts trying to hint around that they know when Jesus is coming back, I'm telling you, you need to get away from them. They're false teachers. Yes? Yeah. I don't know if you heard Brother Devin or not, but one thing about the rapture is there will be some left behind. Not everyone's going up in the rapture. Only the dead in Christ will be raised. And only we, which Paul spoke of himself as a believer, only Christians that are living will go up. there will be those left behind. Religious people that are not saved, all unsaved people will be left behind. Something else you know about the rapture. Yes, Brother Philip. Yeah, that's right. It's going to be in the air. The rapture is going to take place in the air. And the Bible says that Jesus, and this is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says we will meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The revelation is when he actually comes and sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, and he's going to set up his kingdom. And that's a different aspect of the same advent, which is there's two aspects of the one advent, which is the second advent of Christ, and that is the rapture. And then there'll be a period of time elapse, and then there'll be the revelation. Now, there'll be a period of time on earth. You've got to remember, in heaven, time is not a situation in heaven, all right? All right, so someone else. What do you know about the rapture of the church? Just raise your hand and tell me. Anyone? Anything? So I don't believe in the rapture. Well, you have that right. I'm not mad at you. I'm going to give you some scripture tonight and let you wrestle with it a little bit. There are some good people that have different views on rapture, revelation, second advent. And we're just going to see what the Bible says. And then I've read these other things, and it doesn't hold water. You know? Yeah, Sister Diane. Yeah. There'll be a trumpet sound at the rapture. Yeah. That's what Scripture says anyway, right? Trumpets, by the way, in the Bible are very interesting. You ought to study what trumpets are used for in Scripture. It rallies people. We use it even in our Western culture to rally people, right? Reveille. Taps. Trumpets are used to send messages, to gather people, to set events. And so is in the Old and New Testament. Trumpets were used to set events and to rally and gather people. Anyone else? This is a lot. This is good. Yes, Sister Tammy. Amen. Only who now letteth will let until he be taken. He, not it. Until he, and that's where, again, it's where people get messed up, out of the way. The Holy Ghost is going up with you. Wait a minute. He's everywhere. Well, he came. When did the Holy Ghost come? On the day of Pentecost. Yeah. And so in a sense, he came and he began to birth the church on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Well, he's going. He that came is going. Amen. That's very important, by the way, because the Antichrist cannot be revealed until we leave. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Read it. These are biblical thoughts. Okay, these are not just I think, my opinion. I'm giving you scripture. I hope you're writing them down. Anyone else before we get into the teaching tonight? Yes, Pastor BJ. Yeah, there's going to be some people that we shall not all sleep. In other words, not everyone's going to die, but everyone's going to be changed. Everyone's going to receive a glorified body. And so when you get over into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul there said that there's going to be old death for those that have died. They're going to cry, "O death, where is thy sting?" Or those who will die is going to say, "O grave, where is thy victory?" But those who do not die is going to say, "O death, where is thy sting?" Right? Let me correct that. I had it backwards there. And so for we who are alive and remain, we're going to say, "O death, where is thy sting?" Because we're not going to die. But for those who have died, their bodies are going to say, "Oh, grave, where is thy victory?" Because they're coming up out of the grave. Is that right? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15, read it, verses 51 through 58. It talks about the corruptible, put it on incorruption. That's the dead body is going to receive a new body. And the mortal, that's the living body, is going to put on immortality, the translation of the saints. These are biblical answers. And you know, you can refute truth if you like. But it takes a fool to refute the truth. Anyone else? Yes. Yeah. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says that people who have heard the truth and have rejected that truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness, that God is going to send them strong delusion that they would believe a lie. In other words, there's people who sit in churches, maybe they were raised in Christian homes, and they deny the gospel, they don't get saved. You need to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. The Bible's very clear, it's what Brother Philip said, that God is going to send them strong delusion. Now, we live in an age of delusion. We live in an age of deception. And it's only going to increase. It's only going to wax worse and worse leading up to Jesus coming again. Well, these are good things about the rapture. Let's answer some questions. I want you to write these questions down. Okay, here's the questions we're going to answer. Now, we won't answer them all tonight. The first thing we're going to do is answer the what of the rapture. What is the rapture? And I'm going to explain to you what the word means. I hope you will go home, and I hope you will get a concordance, and I hope you will get out your King James Bible, and I hope you will look and you will see what the Bible says instead of reading a book. I'm not opposed to reading after men, okay? I'm not opposed to reading after, when I say men, I mean mankind. I'm not opposed to reading after other authors. But get your Bible down and see what saith the Scripture. Okay? You need to find out what God says. And so what of the rapture. Then number two, the how. The how of the rapture. Number three, the why of the rapture. Number four, the when of the rapture. And number five, the who of the rapture. And we may get three of these. We may. We'll see. So, let's see what the Bible says. All right? The what of the rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible. The word, the Greek word for rapture is rapto, and it means to catch away or to carry off. I want you to listen carefully. The rapture, and I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. The rapture is the supernatural calling up and away of the church. And this is my definition, okay? It's probably someone else's too, but I just sit down at my desk a couple of weeks ago and started writing some stuff out, and I thought, here's some questions I believe that people need to ask about the rapture. All right? The what of the rapture? It's the supernatural calling up and away of the church by our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, there's a lot of other things surrounding, and we're going to talk about it, but I want to show you, look here in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I find it interesting that John said, after this. And of course, it comes to the close of the church age. We'll talk about that when we get to the when of the rapture. But in chapter 2 and 3 of the Revelation, we're dealing with the church age. And after this, I do believe it will close the church age. The scripture is very clear, will be the end of the times of the Gentiles. It'll close the church age. It will shut the door of the dispensation of grace. We are in now what's called the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of the grace of God. You can find that in Galatians, and that's the dispensation. The word dispensation just simply means time period. The time period in which God is choosing to deal with man is the dispensation of grace. And so we are in this dispensation in which we are getting, in order to have a relationship with God, you have this relationship with God only through Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The only way that you can have a relationship with God in this grace dispensation is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith in his finished work, he has died on the cross, he was buried, and thank God he rose again the third day from the grave. And by faith, if we will in humble repentance come before him and trust his finished work, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. That's the way you get a relationship with God. Amen. And that when you get a relationship with God, when you ask Christ to save you, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That body is the body of believers, or the body of Christ, in which Colossians says he is the head of the church. As the church, he's the head. We're the body. All right? We're the body. And we are all members of this body. And each of us have been given different functions. The pastors have functions. The teachers have functions. The helpers have functions. The administrators have functions. God gives every person in his body, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he gives you a responsibility in that body by spiritual gifts and abilities. And then he aids you or energizes those gifts and abilities through the person of the Holy Spirit that takes up residence in you when you get born again. That's what the Bible says, brethren. I'm telling you what the Bible says, not some denomination or some, you know, some theological seminary. This is what the Word of God teaches. Now, when you got saved, you got placed in the body. Here, Revelation 4, verse 1, after this, after the church age, John said, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. I think it's very interesting that the last verse or two there in chapter 3, there's another door mentioned in chapter 3, verse 20, and it's Jesus standing at the door knocking to get in. He's knocking to get in the church. The church has shut him out. Well, Jesus had said back in John chapter number 10 and verse number 9, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the door to get into the body of Christ. But the church has shut Jesus out by the time we get to the end of the church age. And in chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus, look at it. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I like that. You know why? Because what Jesus is saying is, if you want me, let me in. You open the door. Right? Sarah was showing me last week an old picture, and I remember my grandmother, and many of you will remember your grandparents or great-grandparents, or depending on your age, maybe your parents. There's a picture of Jesus, or what artists depict Jesus as, standing at the outside of a door knocking, and it's based upon this particular verse right here. And so I showed it to him, and I said, do you see anything unusual about this picture? And Pete looked at it, and Pete just, he honed in on it. He said, that door doesn't have a handle. And I said, you're exactly right. Because the door, Jesus doesn't have the access to go in. You have to open to let him in. And so the artist was depicting this scene right here. Jesus just doesn't come into your life until you open the door. Look again what the Bible said in verse number 20 of chapter 3. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, by the way, you'll never get saved without hearing his voice. So don't you think now that it's going to be some feeling you have or some phenomena that you come up with or some work that you do. You have to hear his voice. Faith cometh by hearing. And the only way we can get saved is by grace, but it's through faith. And the only way you can get faith is by hearing his voice. Amen. Can I tell you, once you hear that voice, your life will never be the same. Whether you respond to it positively or not. I remember the first time I got under Holy Ghost conviction, I heard the voice of God. I got under Holy Ghost conviction. My life was not right until I got saved. I went a while before I got saved, but my life was just miserable until I gave my heart to Christ. And those of you who are saved, you know what I'm talking about. In case you got saved the first time God dealt with your heart. When you hear that voice, all right, when you hear that voice, you never forget that voice. Amen. I've heard a lot of voices, but I've never heard a voice like that voice. And I'm still so thankful. I still hear his voice. John 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Thank God, yes, I do. Amen. I'm glad I heard his voice, and I'm glad I still hear his voice. What about you? Have you ever heard his voice? If you have, you know. And when you hear his voice, my friend, your life will never, ever be the same. I am so glad I still hear his voice. I don't always obey his voice. Shame on me. God have mercy on me. But I sure am glad I hear his voice. I do not want to be insensitive when he speaks. I do not want to have so many voices that his voice is mixed in with the blend. I want his voice to be distinguished above all other voices, and I believe you do too. He said here, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, see, there is the free will of man. And open the door, I will come in. Not, you know, well, I might if you'll follow a 12-step program and if you'll go down to the church and shake the preacher's hand. Jesus said, you open the door and I'll come in. You don't need a preacher. You don't need a church. Now, I'm talking about to get saved. Now, once you get saved, you need a preacher. Amen. And you need a church. But I'm talking about to get saved. And so here's this door. And Jesus stand outside of it. One man said, look at this in chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked and behold, a door was open. He said, if till you open the door, this door will never be open. And so until you open the door to Jesus, the door of heaven will never be open to you because he really is the door. John 10:9, I hope you'll write it down. Here is the rapture of the church. Now, what do you mean by that? I want you to listen very closely. Here is a picture of the rapture. It said, the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So the rapture of the church is the taking away of God's people to move us to a different place. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a word, and I'm going to talk to you about what the rapture of the church is and what it does and how it happens all in one. So I want you to write this word down. How many of you own a Bible dictionary or a Strong's Concordance? Raise your hand. If you say, I own one. Hey, man, that's great. Praise the Lord. That's good. I didn't realize there'd be that many. Let me see your hands again. Let me look at that again. If you don't have one and you'd like to have one, if you'll come see me, I'll get you one. I might have a next one. I'd give it to you. It's just helpful. Now listen, let me make this very clear. Okay, I want to make this very clear. I don't want someone leaving here not saying, well, you know what? I can't study my Bible. I don't have a Strong's Concordance. That is not so. That is not so. You can study your Bible without a concordance. You can study your Bible without a dictionary. However, I think that there are certain things that will aid. I have a hymnal in my study. There's this time when I go in my study, and I don't sing, okay? I don't. Well, I do hum. But I'll just go and start reading some of those old hymns of the faith, and I'm telling you right now, it gets real in my study. The power of God falls, and I just cry and thank God for what he's done for me. Just reading those old hymns. Could I just ask if you don't have a hymnal, and that doesn't have to be this hymnal, okay? This is a Sword of the Lord hymnal. It doesn't have to be. But if you'll just get you an old hymnal, sometimes just sit around and read. Now, I've got two or three books that give the history of the hymns that have been written. I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. If you've never read the story behind It Is Well With My Soul, I am telling you, you will click your heels up. Amen. So I'll not do those kind of things. Well, you will when you read that. Amen. I mean, you're missing out on it. So I would encourage you, if you don't have a good hymnal in your home, please get you one. And then if you'd like the name of a couple of a few books that gives the story, the backstory of some of these great hymns of the faith, Fanny Crosby, some of these others, Philip Bliss, that have written these old hymns that were just loaded with doctrinal truth, I highly encourage you getting one, okay? So let me give you a word. I want you to write this word down. All right, the word that I want you to write down is harpazo, okay? That's a Greek word. Harpazo. So, well, you know, I don't speak Greek. Well, I know that. I don't either. All right? I speak to Pete when I see him, but I don't speak Greek. So, it's harpazo, okay? Now, the reason I'm giving you this word is because I want to explain to you biblically the rapture. All right? So I want you to take your Bible, and we're going to turn to some scriptures, and I'm going to show you where this word is used and what it means. All right? If you'll get your Strong's Concordance out, and you'll look up that word, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, harpazo, it'll show you where it's used. And every one of these instances I'm going to show you tonight, it's going to help describe and define the rapture right from the Bible. All right? So turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Would you do that? You know where we're going, but I want to show you where you're going to find harpazo. All right? You say, that even sounds funny. Oh, but it tastes good. I'm telling you, there is some good teaching when you begin to do word studies. All right, so 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you're very familiar with this passage of Scripture. Now, I do not read Greek, but if you had, and I'm not saying you need, I don't need a Greek Bible. Okay, I've got an every word Bible right here in my native tongue, my mother tongue. I don't need a Greek Bible. If I spoke Greek, I would need a Greek Bible. I speak English, I've got a preserved, inspired copy of the Word of God. Amen. So, are you in 1 Thessalonians? Look, if you would, in chapter 4. And I want you to look down in verse number 16. You know the backdrop here. In verse number 13, the people in Thessalonica had begun to doubt and ask questions, and they sent to Paul, and you can find that where Paul in 2 Thessalonians, he talks about this, okay? But they had sent, and they said, listen, you know, we're kind of concerned. We're a little confused. What happens when people die? I mean, we're saved. There's some of our loved ones, they're dead. Will we ever see them again? What happens? And so this is part of his response to that. He said in verse number 13 of chapter 4, he said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Thank God for that. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant now. I want you to know what's going on when people die. Brethren, I got to tell you something. You need to know what's going on when death comes, whether it's you or your loved ones. We need to know about death and thereafter. And so he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And I'm not going to give you a full exposition of this because of time. He said in verse number 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. In other words, they're in their soulish state right now, and they're in the presence of Jesus, because to be absent from the body, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, is to be present with the Lord. He's bringing them with him. Why? Because he's getting ready to resurrect their bodies. That's why. They're going to get them a glorified body. I'm telling you what the Bible says right here. So Jesus said, well, Jesus is coming alone. That's not what this verse of Scripture says. This verse of Scripture says that he's going to bring those that are sleeping. Their bodies are in the grave, but they're in the presence of God. Okay? And he said he's going to bring them with him. And that's what verse 14 says. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus now. You got to watch the wording. He said, will God bring with him? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Well, that's what I need to hear. Amen. When someone's talking to me about anything spiritual, about anything prophetical, I want to hear what the word of the Lord says. Amen. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede, is the word there. When you look that word up, we shall not precede, prevent them which are asleep. In other words, the translated saints are not going to see Jesus until the resurrection saints. The resurrection first. And he explains this. Look in verse number 16. He said, let me elaborate. And so in verse number 16, he said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And this is what Brother Philip brought up, or somebody, about the trumpet blowing. And then he said, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So he said, those that sleep, he said, they're not going to prevent or precede we which are alive. And he's elaborating on that here. Now I'm getting ready to get to our word, harpazo. All right? Look at verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be harpazoed together with them. Caught up. That's what rapture is. Caught up. You say, well, I already knew that. Well, when you look up this word right here in your Strong's Concordance, It's not just called up, but listen, I looked it up again. I looked it up several times though in my Christian life. It's called away or called up, watch this now, for oneself. Because notice what he says here. Look at it again. They shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Why? To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the purpose of the rapture is to get us to Jesus, amen, because we belong to him. But now that's not the only purpose of the rapture. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn back. I want you to turn to the book of Acts just for a moment. Would you do that? Acts chapter 8. We're going to see where this word's used again, harpazo. So that word, caught up. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Called up, called away for one's own self. And then in Acts chapter 8, we have that word used again. In Acts chapter 8, there's a very familiar passage of Scripture where Philip has been called upon to go out into the desert and witness to a eunuch. He leads this eunuch to the Lord. You know the story, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. If you do not know the story, I highly encourage you to read it as soon as possible. It's outstanding. Well, Philip leads this. He goes to him and he asks him, what are you reading? And this just so happened, he was right there in Isaiah 53, and Philip just expounds the scripture to him. And this eunuch gets saved. And he says, hey, you know, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And he said, well, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He said, I do. And he said, well, then you can get baptized. Hey, there's some water. Hey, man, let's read this sometime. This is exactly what happens. I want you to look at verse number 39. After the baptism, the Bible says, well, let's read verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord harpazo Philip, that the eunuch saw no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He caught him away. Boom! Just like Don said. Instantly. Immediately. Right? In the twinkling of an eye. That's what Brother Don said. When I think he was the first one that when I said, what do you know about the rapture? He said, it's going to happen, you know, just quickly. And so that's exactly what happened. It happened in such a way that that's our word. I want you to look in verse 39. It says, the Lord caught away Philip. And it happened in such a way, look what it says, the eunuch saw him no more. Can I tell you one day, this old world's not going to see us anymore. Enoch, who was a picture of the rapture, the Bible says that God took him, for he was not. And it says they didn't find him. Read Hebrews chapter 11. They looked for him, they couldn't find him. That's what our word means here. That is what God wants to, by using this word in this place, he wants us to know one day people's going to be looking for you too. Just like they did Enoch. Just like this eunuch did Philip. And they're not going to find, you're going to be nowhere to be found. Why? Because the Spirit of God's going to harpazo. He's going to take you out of here, amen. That's right. See, God put that word there to teach us. That's not all. There's more teaching about this word. So I want you to take your Bible now, and I want you to turn to John chapter number 6. This one is very interesting in John chapter number 6. We have our word again. Now, I'm challenging you. I have on my phone an app that is the Bible in the Strong's Concordance. In other words, it's the Bible, and out by every word is the where you can find the root of that word. It's the Strong's Concordance. You can get it the app. It's free. If you're interested in it, I'll share the app with you. You can just click on it, and it'll take you straight to the Strong's Concordance. It'll tell you what that word means, and I mean, it's just very, very helpful. The Strong's Concordance is about that thick. My phone is real thin, and I can just carry it in my pocket. That's why I have the apps, amen. I used to say I'll never have one of those things. Them smartphones are for dumb people. I must be dumb. I've got me one. I've upgraded. John chapter number 6. Look, if you would, in verse number 15. Here's our word again. I'm going to give you three more, okay, and then I'll close tonight. I'm talking to you about the rapture. So we found out from 1 Thessalonians that it's called away for oneself. Jesus is going to take us out of here, brethren, so we can be with him. He promised me that. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, listen now, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now that is the word of a gentleman. Jesus always keeps his promise. Amen. He's coming back. And he's taking us out of here. One way or the other, we're leaving this world. Whether through the grave, one day we'll be resurrected at the rapture, or we which are alive and remain, we're going to be translated right out of here. We're going to be harpazoed. Amen? Look what the scripture says in chapter 6. Look at verse 15. This is very interesting. You will find that word harpazo right here in verse number 15. I challenge you to look at it. Look at verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and harpazo him to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Take him by force. That's that word, harpazo. This adds a little extra dimension and interest to me. When I read that, I thought, wait a minute now. To take by force. What's going on here? Does that mean that the devils and the prince of the power of the air is going to try to prevent Jesus from getting his church out of here when we meet in the air? Well, what's going to happen? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. I'm just telling you that's that word. That's our word. Harpazo. When we leave out of here, it might not be the devils at all. It might be the state of some Christians. I remember they had to drag Lot. I believe he was a believer. The Bible says so in 2 Peter. They had to drag him out of Sodom by force. Right? You listening? I sure hope God don't have to drag me out of this old world by force. I hope I'm ready to go. Amen. I hope you're ready to go. But if you're saved, you're going. Right? Yeah. If you don't know about the story in Lot, I challenge you. Genesis 19, you ought to read it. You ought to read it. Here's our word, harpazo. What does it include? Force. Could it be because there's going to be warfare? I don't know. The devil's trying to stop. Well, he tries to stop everything that God's people and Jesus. He does, but he hadn't stopped it yet. He's not going to. All right, two more. All right, turn if you would to Acts chapter number 23. All right, Acts 23. This is a great comfort to me. I have people ask me all the time, preacher, are we going to go through just a little bit of the tribulation? Not even one day of it. And I'm going to cover many, many scriptures on this, but for tonight, because of time, I just want to give you this one harpazo scripture out of Acts 23 that means rescue from danger. All right? See, why is Jesus going to get us out of here? Because Jesus in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 10, he promised the church at Philadelphia, he said, I'm going to keep you because you have kept the word of my patience. I will also keep you from the temptation that shall come upon the whole world. When you read 1 Thessalonians 1:10, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, you find that we're going to be delivered from the wrath to come. What is that wrath? Revelation chapter 6, verse 17 says, the great day of his wrath has come. It's the tribulation period. I'm not going to be here. You say, well, I am. Well, if you're saved, you're not. You say, well, yeah, I am. Well, I'll tell you when we get to heaven. I told you so. Look, if you would, in chapter 23. Now, listen, I don't split hairs with people over stuff like this. I don't. I know what the Bible teaches. And I'm a Bible student, okay? That's all I am. And I hope that's what you are. We need to be Bible students. Study to show thyself approved unto God. I don't even believe in Bible scholars. You say, why? Why? You don't believe in Bible scholars? Never met one. Never met one. There's far more. You could take a person who knows the most about the Bible of anyone that you've ever met, and there's so much more that they don't know than they do. Now, would we call that a scholar in any other field? I don't think so. If somebody come up and say, hey, I want to work on your car. And you said, well, what do you know about Lexus? Well, I can tell you this. There's a lot more I don't know than I do. What you going to say? Well, I want you to fix my car then. Man, you're a mechanical guru. I don't think so. I think you'd have some second questions, second thoughts about getting that individual to work on your vehicle. Well, we should apply the same thing here. Let's just be Bible students and study to show ourselves approved. Be good workmen. Amen? Acts 23, if you will, look at verse number 10. Here is a situation where Paul was in great danger. And I want to show you where our word harpazo is again. Look at it in verse number 10. The Bible says, "And when there arose a great dissension," Acts 23, verse 10, "the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to harpazo him, take him by force, catch him away, yank him away, snatch him out of that situation before the danger got him." That's a word. I challenge you to look it up. There it is, used again. "From among them, and to bring him into the castle." I want to give you one final one, and our time is up tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Did you write that word down? It's a very interesting word. You say, "Preacher, I don't even know if I could say that word." Well, that's okay. H-A-R-P-A-Z-O. Just spell it and look it up and go to town on it. Hey, you have to start somewhere, brethren. Right? You have to start somewhere. You know how I started as a Christian? I'm not saying I know all that. Listen, I've said it over and over again, and I mean this when I say it. This is not a feigned humility. There is far more about the Bible I don't know than I do. And there are people who can preach circles around me who know far more than I know, and I'm not in a competition. I'm not in a competition. I just want to do my very best with what God has given me. And I know I'm going to give an account one day before the Lord, and you are too. So read your Bible, okay? I started out reading two verses of Scripture a day, and I didn't understand anything I read. And so if you're here and you say, "Preacher, I don't feel like I know anything about the Bible." Well, listen, you have to start somewhere, okay? Just get you some study helps, or just say, "God, get on your face before God and say, 'God, I want to know what's in your word.'" And just start reading the Bible. Just read and read. You say, "Well, should I keep reading even when I don't understand?" Absolutely. I read my Bible this morning. I understood about, and I'm just going to say about, probably 65 to 70% of what I read. You say, you're a preacher. Yeah, I know. Sometimes I don't understand that much of what I read. Just depends on where I'm reading at. You say, "I'd like to read somewhere where I can understand about 2%. Read the book of Leviticus tomorrow. Remember when I studied that and we went through it? Man, I was toiling. I was toiling. But you know what? There's some great truths in there when you dig. Aren't they? Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is a very familiar passage of Scripture where Paul was called up, harpazo, into the third heaven. You know what the word means here? See, what we just read in Acts, the word harpazo, it means to catch away. Why? By force, to keep people from danger. See, God's going to take us out of here to keep us from danger. It's called the tribulation, harpazo. We're going to be harpazo. We're going to be taken out of here to keep us from the danger that's coming upon the whole world. God's going to take us out of here. He's going to harpazo us. He's going to catch us away, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, so he can have us unto himself, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll never be separate again, brethren. Never again. Amen. Here is to take us to a new place. This world is not our home. I know we're coming back here, and we'll stay here. Listen, if we've been faithful, we'll rule and reign for 1,000 years, but this world is not my home. It's not. It's not. My home has been prepared by the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. It's called the New Jerusalem. And John, in Revelation 21, John said, "I saw it coming down out of heaven." And he said it was prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's my home. That's your home too. Read about it sometime in Revelation 21 and 22. It's very real. And it is our home as believers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, notice what Paul said here. He said, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory," or He said, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one harpazoth to the third heaven. He got relocated. We're going to get relocated one day. All right? That's our word. We're leaving here, brethren. I'm telling you, just as sure as you are sitting in this building tonight, we're going to meet the Lord in the air one day. You say, well, what if we die first? Well, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. They're still going in the air. And then we which are alive and remain, we're going to be called up. We're going to be harpazoed, just like he was. Paul said, it happened to me. Now, Paul came back and he said, it's unlawful. Read this sometime. He said, it's unlawful for me to utter things that I saw and heard up there. Amen. You know why? God saved it for John. That's right. Yeah. The rapture's real. And you need to be ready for it. And so I pray that you would take this word and just look these scriptures up and let God dawn on your heart that this is a reality. We are checking out of here one day, brethren. We're leaving this old world. And when I stand before him, I don't want to stand before him ashamed. 1 John 2:28. But I want to stand before him with confidence. And I want to be able to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. I hope that tonight while you're sleeping, you hear this preacher saying in his funny way, harpazo. Harpazo. Y'all don't know what that means, preacher. It means to be snatched or called away. It means to be taken by force. It means to be relocated to a new place. It means to be removed from danger. And God peppered it throughout the New Testament to teach us that's what's going to take place in the rapture. God's going to do all that for us by taking us out of here. How's that going to happen? By the Word of God. The voice of God that spoke the worlds into existence. We're going to hear it one day. We're going to hear that voice. And it's going to say, come up hither. We're getting out of here, man. I'm telling you right now, we're leaving this world. We're leaving. And it's going to happen oh so quickly. Now you be ready now, okay? The Bible didn't say get ready. It said be ready. Matthew 24:44, be ye therefore also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. All right? You ready? When we used to play hide and seek, we would say, ready or not, here I come. One day Jesus is going to say, ready or not, here I come. Be ready.